I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." And he called to him the multitude with his disciples and said to them, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." May God add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Donna. As we look at this scripture, I can't help but think about the old saying, the more you give, the more you get. You ever heard that? The more you give, the more you get. An even more important question is, do you believe that? Do you believe that the more you give, the more you get? It's an important question because it is the basis of living the Christian life. Think about it. If we look at the teachings of Jesus, in fact, if we look at the life of Jesus, we will see that this is a true statement. For example, Luke 6th chapter, verses 37-38, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." Now, in Jesus' ministry, he taught that every time we give of ourselves to others, it comes back to us. Now, keep in mind that he's not saying we should give so we'll get back. That's a common thought. Well, I'm going to give because if I do, I'll get back. That's not what he says. No, what he's telling us is that we need to give because in the natural order of things, somebody's going to profit by what we give, and that's us getting back as Christians. Think of this story. Christmas can still arrive when you least expect it, sometimes in the most unexpected manner. There's a story of an elderly woman named Stella Thornhope, who was struggling with her first Christmas alone. Her husband had died just a few months prior through a slow-developing cancer. Now, several days before Christmas, she was almost snowed in by a brutal weather storm. She felt terribly alone, so much so she decided she was not going to decorate for Christmas. Late that afternoon, the doorbell rang and there was a delivery boy with a box. He said, "Mrs. Thornhope?" She nodded. He said, "Would you sign here?" She invited him to step inside and close the door to get away from the cold. She signed the paper and said, "What's in the box?" The young man laughed and opened up the flap, and inside was a little puppy, a golden Labrador retriever. The delivery boy picked up the squirming pup and explained, "This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old, completely housebroken." The young puppy began to wiggle in happiness at being released from captivity. "Who sent this?" Mrs. Thornhope asked. The young man set the animal down, handed her an envelope, and said, "It's all explained here in this envelope, ma'am. The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift for you. The young man then handed her a book, How to Care for Your Labrador Retriever. In desperation, she asked again, Who sent me this puppy? As the young man turned to leave, he said, Your husband, ma'am. Merry Christmas. She opened up the letter from her husband. He had written it 3 weeks before he died and left it with a kennel and the kennel owners to be delivered with the puppy as his last Christmas gift to her. The letter was full of love and encouragement and admonishments to be strong. He vowed that he was waiting for the day when she would join him. He had sent her this young animal to keep her company until then. She wiped away the tears, put the letter down, and then remembering the puppy at her feet, she picked up the golden furry ball and held it to her neck. Then she looked out the window at the lights that outlined the neighbor's house, and she heard from the radio in the kitchen the strains of Joy to the World. The Lord has come. Suddenly, Stella felt the most amazing sensation of peace washing over her. Her heart felt a joy and a wonder greater than the grief and loneliness. Little fella, she said to the dog, it's just you and me. But you know what? There's a box down in the basement I bet you'd like. It's got a little Christmas tree in it and some decorations and some lights that are going to impress you. And there's a manger scene down there. Let's go get it. God has a way of sending a signal of light to remind us of life, spirit, that life and spirit are stronger than death. Light and giving is more powerful than darkness. Now you may say, but how do I find this ability to be so giving? What do I need to do to change myself to be a giving person? Well, Jesus gave us instructions for that as well. He would never ask anything of us that he didn't equip us for. Remember these words from John 20, 19, 22? On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now I got a question for you. What connects us as human beings? What is something that brings us all together? Well, we'll start with this. And since I already started picking on Tim, would you do me a favor and put your hand up and blow? Thank you. Mr. Frost, would you do the same? Put your hand blow. Do you know what you're doing? Breathing? Spirit. The Hebrew word is ruah, to breathe. In Middle English, sperer, to breathe. To breathe. Receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus giving that life. That connects all of us. We breathe. That's the Spirit. And so Jesus gives that Spirit to us. You see, Jesus left us with the Holy Spirit. That part of God that empowers us, motivates us to give to others. That's what Jesus gave us to equip us. Is the spirit of connectedness. We're connected to all others because we all breathe. And in breathing, that's the spirit. What happens if someone falls down and they're not breathing? What do we do? Mouth to mouth. Breathe. Breathe. Our spirit, we share. It's life. It's life-giving. We use phrases like, I'm in the spirit of things. I'm in the spirit of the season. We especially say these things when it is the Christmas season, right? Getting in the Christmas spirit, the spirit of giving. Yet our Lord gave us this spirit to use every day, throughout our lives, through all time. Why? Because it makes our world a better place when we give. And when we give, we get so much back and not necessarily anything we see. When you take the people who came here for Meals for Multitude and they prepared 10,000 meals, you may never see anyone eat that meal. But there's going to be a child or an adult in another country who is going to live because of what you did. You didn't see it, but you got it back. It came back in ways that you didn't expect. When we go to Randy Sam's and we feed the people at Randy Sam's, we may never see the person who actually survives and gets a job and actually gets out in the world that we fed, that we helped to nourish. That's coming back to us in ways that we never get to see. When we send kids off to camp, they're off in camp. But that doesn't mean that we're not getting something back, because those children come back and they have a spiritual experience and they have something they've learned and they've had connectedness and they've been with people that can help them spiritually. We have folks in this congregation and in our choir who go to camp and who work with these children. We may never see that spirit, but it's there. For anyone who may think, hey, I've given lots of time and I've never received anything in return. Well, I say to you, you may never have seen it, but it happened. Think of the extended you. That is all life. All those breathing. Let's look at what some of us may be thinking as the measure we get back, as to what the Lord saw as the measure we get back. To do this, we're going to look at Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison to go visit you?" The King will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Receive the Holy Spirit. Didn't see it. That's what they're telling Him. "We never saw that." Yeah, if you did it to someone else, it came back. You see, we do not give directly back to Jesus what He gave us. No, certainly not. But in that we give to one of God's children, we gave back to Him. And it comes back for us. Truth is, we may never see the results of our giving, but others will. Our brothers and sisters in Christ who started this church in the 1800s are not here to see what we have become. How big this church is. I don't know if you've seen pictures of this church in the 1800s, the beginnings of it, a little bitty building. Just a little bitty building out in the country. They never saw that. Where we are now. But it came back to them through their giving. Their children, their children's children, there's a history. It came back. It's the ebb and flow of life. And in the ebb and flow of life, we give and we receive, and oftentimes we don't see what we receive, but it's there. And so many people have difficulty with this scripture. They have trouble believing that when we give, we get back. The measure they gave is the measure they got back. Not directly, but through their descendants, through their brothers and sisters in Christ, through the generations, from the time of Jesus when the church started, all the way here. Where did it start? Not in America. But do we have churches? Yes, we do. Did those ancient Christians get to see what it's become? No, but they certainly breathed life into this church. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Our Lord calls us to deny ourselves. That is, not look at what we gain, but what others will gain through the giving of ourselves. What the world will gain through the giving of ourselves. Sounds crazy, but it's true. The more you give, the more you get. And we have a church that gives, and gives a lot in so many different ways. And we may never see the people that we have affected, as I said earlier, through Meals for Multitude, through Randy Sams, through the person, the homeless person who comes in the door, and you give them a few dollars to go get some food. Whoever it is, whatever it is, we may never see the results, but it doesn't mean it doesn't come back. It comes back in the Spirit of Christ, the great giver, the one who gave his life that we may have life abundant. Let us pray. Lord God, oftentimes we fail to see the sense in what is said and done in Scripture and in other avenues, and yet you see the sense, and that's really all that matters. You have called us to be selfless. You have called us to be giving. You have assured us that in our giving, others will get, and we will receive in return, not that which we can hold, at least not in our hands, but in our hearts and minds. Be with us, for we ask this in the name of your Son. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.